There's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
An interesting piece in The Hub, written by our next guest. The title is Prepare to Get Poorer. Okay. All right. Like I said before, we're talking about the federal government's proposed emissions cap, right? Big part of the federal government's climate change policy. Here in Alberta, the premier often calls that a production cap, saying the only way to meet that emissions cap is to reduce production. It's the only way we can do it. Our next guest goes a little bit further than production cap, says, what if the emissions cap is actually a prosperity cap, and not just for oil and gas? And not just for Albertans, but for the entire country. We're going to speak with Adam Legnow, president of the Business Council of Alberta. Adam, thanks so much for your time. I appreciate you being here.
Thanks, Jay. My pleasure.
Okay, let's start with the emissions cap, because I think the vast majority of Canadians agree that emissions are a problem. We know that. The polling tells us that oil and gas, very intensive when it comes to emissions. So it makes sense at that level, doesn't it, Adam?
Well, you know what? We totally agree that Canada and industry needs to reduce its emissions profile. And in fact, the oil and gas sector agrees with it as well. They've put a lot of pledge and a lot of commitment, a lot of effort towards trying to build a plan to do so. But putting another policy and another cap on top of the sector will actually have the reverse effect in driving the necessary investment away, and we won't achieve our emissions reduction targets because we won't be investing in the technologies to do so. So no one's debating the need to reduce emissions. Yeah. The industry is behind that. We just need to create the right conditions for that to happen.
Okay, so let's go through it, because you point out a couple of ways that this proposed cap goes wrong. Let's talk about policy. Say, just in terms of political policy, government policy, this doesn't check any of the boxes, right? What's wrong with it in terms of how it handles itself as a policy?
Well, good policy really needs to check boxes, exactly as you said, Shay. And a couple of them are things like efficiency, simplicity, sector agnostic, regional fairness, globally competitive. This policy checks none of those boxes. It's a specific industry focus, will make us highly uncompetitive. It's incredibly complex. It's layered on top of an existing carbon price for industry. It's layered on top of other clean fuel standards. So it's just a pancaking, another pancake on top of the stack of what industry is facing. And so when you go and enable good policy, this thing just creates a massive set of complexity and a massive set of uncertainty that investors and companies just can't work with.
That's the other side of this. I mean, even before, we get to the point of what it actually would mean for production, there's the investment piece of this, right? And you've sort of broken down some of the numbers of what this could ultimately mean to us as a country when you talk about this emissions cap. What kind of an economic impact have people predicted?
Well, Shay, I think it's important to kind of lay out the dominoes that would fall, that would lead to the impact to Canadians. And ultimately what it is that if the cap were enforced, the Premier's right. The timelines and the emissions reduction targets are far too aggressive based on not only the technology that's available right now, but also the state of the projects that would be needed to be put in place to reduce those emissions. And so she's right. It would result in a production cap. And because the oil and gas sector is Canada's largest sector by a wide margin, it's larger than automotive and banking combined, it would result in a lack of investment, a lack of activity. And so the Conference Board of Canada has estimated that Canada's GDP would be reduced between $600 billion and $1 trillion between 2030 and 2040. But what does that mean for Canadians? It means that Canadians would see a loss of between 82,000 and 150,000 jobs by 2030. Most of those would be obviously in Alberta. And we'd see a loss of wages. We could see anywhere between a $10 and $18 billion loss of wages across the country. But importantly, as I talked about the prosperity cap, is that Canadians wouldn't get the services and the quality of life that they expect because tax revenues, primarily the federal government, would be reduced between $80 and $150 billion over a 10-year period. So that means we can't fund health care, we can't fund social programs, we can't fund affordable housing initiatives. So the dominoes fall from one policy all the way through to a federal government that doesn't have the money that it needs to fund the things that Canadians want and demand.
And you make a really good point. I mean, taking a look at where we are economically, it's not like everybody is in a great spot. Canadians are having a really, really tough time blowing that kind of hole in revenue and income and everything else and job loss. I mean, it couldn't come at a worse time, probably.
Well, you're absolutely right. Canadians are struggling with affordability. We're struggling with access to health care. We're struggling with affordable housing. And to reduce the amount of money that the federal government has right now to and over the next 10 years to contribute to those needed programs, I don't think it's something that Canadians would readily accept. And so that's what we're trying to paint the picture of the dominoes that will fall if this policy is enacted.
Okay, Adam, here's the other side of this coin, right? And you know, we've got a situation where most Canadians agree, hey, we've got to do something. This is important to most Canadians, and that's why the Prime Minister is doing it. He may have missed the mark on how he's doing it. That's the question. So how do we tackle a problem that most Canadians and industry agrees is a problem that needs to be tackled without putting ourselves in a position like this? What's a better strategy?
Well, there's really two things. One is, let's get the things that government has already committed to doing across the finish line. And that's things like the investor tax credits and the contracts for difference that will enable the companies to successfully put projects in the ground and get them operating. So that's the first thing. Because the government has committed to these things. And so let's get those across the finish line. But then secondly, let's make sure that the timing associated with any kind of emissions reduction is viable and feasible in line with a construction program for those projects of carbon capture and things like that. It's in line with the technology that exists. And so we're all focused on a net zero by 2050 basis, which industry agrees with, and that's what the Pathways Initiative is all about. So let's put in place the timelines that really meet a realistic construction schedule, a realistic technology scenario, because right now they're not. They are highly aggressive, highly unrealistic, and then we can begin to see emissions reduced. We remove some of these superfluous things like the emissions cap. We already have a price on carbon industrially here in Alberta. It's called the TIER system, which charges industrial emitters, including the oil and gas sector, for their emissions. Let's keep that. That's the model. That's what every economist in this country who knows how to price carbon has said it will work. And let's stick to the program that we have instead of layering on more uncompetitive and sector targeting policies such as the cap.
How big of an issue is that, Adam? Because you're right. We have a lot of policies that are already in place and we just keep adding more. Why? My take would be because for politics, we want to be seen like we're doing something. It's important to this government. But in reality, how much happens? Because industry sort of dictates the pace they can move at. So, I mean, where do you think the reality lies and ultimately what this will look like in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years? Because there is a reality that you can't deny.
Well, absolutely. I mean, the reality is we have to reduce emissions, and industry is committed to that under the right policy and the right investment climate. But then the second part to your question really is, you know, we've got too many policies layered on top. Let's stick to the one that is in place, the TIER carbon pricing system in the country. The reality is the emissions cap was an election promise, and it may be an election promise, but it's bad policy. So let's make the acknowledgement that this just doesn't work for the prosperity of Canadians and the health of our country, and pull it back. And let's make sure we can just make a simple, competitive pricing system for carbon in this country that meets the targeting profile. And ultimately, what the addition of the emissions cap is an acknowledgement by the federal government that their current pricing and current system isn't working, and they want to punitively impact one sector. It's the only sector in this country, which is the largest economic sector in this country, that is being penalized through additional carbon pricing mechanisms. There is no other one. And so whether we see something changed, if a new government is formed next year, it's highly likely. But for now, it's creating a ton of investment uncertainty. And so the investments that are needed don't happen.
Yeah, great point. Adam, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate you being here today.
Thanks, Shay.
You bet. Thanks so much. Adam Legg, President, Business Council of Alberta. Make some really good points, right? I mean, I think there are all kinds of problems with what's happening around climate change policy and how our federal government is planning to go about doing this. And I think a lot of it is politics, ultimately. And listen, there's one maxim I come back to time and time again on this show, and you've heard it a million times. When a politician is talking, there's politics involved. And I think a lot of this is the federal government wanting to be seen as champions of climate change. But in reality, when the rubber hits the road and it comes down to, okay, well, this is where we are and this is what we're going to do, it starts to fall apart because it's not realistic. You heard Adam talking about the timeline is just too aggressive, right? You've got the Pathways Alliance. They've committed to a timeline of, you know, net zero by 2050. Our province is on board 2050. We've got that 2050 doesn't seem to be in dispute by anybody at this point, but the federal government jumps it up to 2035, right? So that's part of the problem. That's where I think the rub comes in, is like everybody, well, not everybody, there's some people out there I know who think the whole thing is nonsense, but, you know, our province, industry, the federal government, the global community all seem to be on board with, okay, we need to get to net zero eventually. And 2050 is the number that's thrown around most commonly. Like I say, our government's moved it up. And I think that's where the issue comes in. And if you were more realistic in that timeline, you might have better buy-in.